thought for today. When you are ready, you will be ready. When you are ready, you will be ready. When you are ready, you will be ready. Interesting, isn't it? When you are ready, you will be ready. It sounds almost as though it's a redundancy, unnecessary duplication, unnecessary comment of one point to another. When you are ready, you will be ready. Now, all of you, from time to time, think you're ready for something. You think you're ready for a new job. You think you're ready for a new mate, a new friend. You think you're ready for a new life. You think you're ready for a new experience in the world. Just like love there. I put the wieners out on top of the counter, and he thinks he's ready for them. And he comes and smells my fingers and says, "My goodness, it's so close and yet so far. Where are those wieners, you know? I want them." But is he really ready? You see, if love had created me going a step further and having them ready for him sooner, he could have had them already. But he didn't. He slept in. Instead of getting up and reminding me when I was working on them that now is the time, he wasn't there. And then love does another thing. Love wants the goodies that I prepare for him and for Button. He wants them so badly, but he forgets to get Button. And Button is sleeping in the broadcasting room, or Button is out running somewhere, and love does not get fed until Button is there. That's just one of the rules. Because love has a tendency to, as soon as he finishes his food, to go over and intimidate Button and take his food. And Button says, "I don't care. If you want my food, go ahead." But that's not my intention. I feel that when they're ready, they're ready. And then I give it to them. So I'll call Button, I'll say, "Button, come and eat." And he'll not hear me at first, and then I'll sing a few more times, and he'll come dancing in there, wiggling his tail. "Oh yes, that's right, it is that time, isn't it?" So I give them each their wiener and their dog biscuit, and they enjoy it so thoroughly. But in keeping with good vegetarian habits, Button likes the biscuit more than the wiener, and he eats the biscuit first. Love likes the wiener first, and then he goes on to the other things. How often we are like that. We think we're ready, but we haven't put our house in order. We haven't put all of our thinking in order. We haven't put our attitudes in order. And I sang you a song this morning in my most wonderful singing voice, and it's to Mary Had a Little Lamb. And you all know Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, this one goes a little differently. Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. Let's sing it together. Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. We watched The Bishop's Wife last night, and in there Cary Grant played the angel. And he stood before this empty boys' choir, and he said, "They'll be here." And so, with the wave of his hand, his angel miracle hand, he just brought the boys in from their basketball games, from their playing and from their activities. And little by little, they all came in looking like ragamuffins, looking like they'd been having a good time out in the street. And their voices were angelic. And as Cary Grant played the part of the angel, he moved his hands as a choir director might move them. And the boys sang gloriously. Now, who did he think he was directing that choir? Did they need to be directed, or were they ready? They were ready, and he was ready. He directed them because he enjoyed directing. Remember? You do things because you enjoy doing it. Then you really are ready. When you start doing things before you're ready, expect that you're going to polish it as you go along. You're going to improve your abilities of the things you're doing. When you first drive a car, learn how to drive a car, you don't have the skill of an accomplished driver. You have the skill of an accomplished driver. You just haven't let it out yet. You're not going to polish that skill of an accomplished driver. You're going to reveal it, because it's within you. You say to a person, come on, you know how to do this, come on. And you really mean, you know how to do this. And yet they may have never done it before in their life. You say, well, these are the rules of chess. You know how to do it. They know the rules of chess before you ever tell them. But how can they know it if I don't tell them? Who first created the game of chess? Someone who did not have a rule book? Someone who did not have someone to show them how to play it? They know it. Well, they advanced the game of chess as it went along. They improved it and made different rules for it. That's true. You see, what I'd like all of us to really be aware of, especially Irene, since she's going to go off to Africa and change the entire African continent and all its people into people who believe that they're God. But what I'd like all of you to really realize is that that's all there is. Why can you say you're God? Because that's all there is. Now, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that God is all and that's all there is, then the program we have here is not harmonious with you. But if you believe that God is everything, and that we are everything, and that's all there is, then you are ready. You are ready to experience that allness. But if you have any doubts, any lack of confidence in yourself, any lack of self-awareness, oh, gee, Herb, yeah. You know where lack of self-awareness comes from? Lack of self-awareness comes from? You know where that comes from? It comes from him and her and them and, you know, believing in the outside. You know you're good. You knew that from the time you were born. You're the greatest. And you knew from the time that you were a little child that that was your world out there. That's your world. That's everything you see out there is your world. Every toy out there is yours. You have a perfect right to go pick up any toy and play with it. You have a perfect right to do everything. That's your world. You're ready for it. And then society and the way people do things train us to forget that that's our world, that that's our creation, that that belongs to us. We don't possess it. It just belongs to us. So I say to you, okay, go get the Cadillac. He said, well, you don't have one, Herb. I said, go get the Cadillac. But you don't have one. Go get the Cadillac. But you don't have one. Forget it. Can you imagine Jesus saying to his disciples, go into town and pick me up a donkey and bring him back here? They'd say, Jesus, you don't have a donkey. And Jesus says, go in town and pick up a donkey and bring him back here. But you don't have a donkey. And he says, the donkey will be tied up by the side of the road, and his master will be there, and you just say, my master has need of your donkey. And the donkey's master will say, certainly. No questions asked. How long? What's the rent? How much are you going to pay per hour and per mile? Are you going to feed the poor little beast while you got him? You mean that great big old Jesus man, the carpenter, that old heavyweight, he's going to ride on my little old donkey? My goodness sakes, he'll break his back. Nonsense. You see, Jesus believed that he was God. Jesus believed everyone is God. Jesus believed whatever he spoke his word for, he would have. You know, he's a pretty cool cat, too. He said, come on, boys, we're going to have dinner in the upper room. Who's the upper room? Who prepared for it? My goodness, you know, classy. And then what did he do? He went around all over the place. And we don't have any record of this, but he went all over the place and he wore the finest robe in town, the seamless robe. You don't hear of anybody else having a seamless robe because they're difficult to make. But he had a seamless robe. He had everything because he believed in himself. You say, well, of course, he's Jesus the Christ, you know. Of course, you are too. John Dainty almost made it. He just added that last thing on his name. He had a JC, and then he added that Dainty on the end there, just to JC, darn it. Remember that, you know. But, no, we all do this. We all do this. Start realizing who you are. Start realizing who you are. Then you will be ready. You'll be ready to move into anything you want to move into. Ellen and Stephen went over and visited with one of our neighbors yesterday. And they went over there and did a beautiful job sharing and talking with them. But they forgot one thing. They forgot that they're God and that they're the creator of their world and that that neighbor would have done anything they created him doing if they created him doing it. But they created him being a gentle, loving, logical person. And so he was. If they had created him being a divine, caring, sharing, loving being, so he would be. How do you create in your world? What are you ready to create? What can you take from yourself and give out into your world? Do you have limitation in yourself? Do you see the world as limiting? Do you see people as giving you a problem? When a cop pulls up behind you with this red light going, do you first think, oh my God, I'm going to get a ticket. What did I do wrong? Hey, the cop pulled up behind you. He wanted to tell you that one of your taillights wasn't working and that you should have it fixed so that you would not cause yourself any danger. Oh. The cop pulled up behind you to tell you that a seatbelt on the passenger side was hanging out the door and dragging on the street. You didn't have a passenger with you, but the seatbelt was hanging out there, and it would damage the seatbelt, so it would not be a safe seatbelt for the passenger to wear when you have a passenger. Oh. Or go on and on. When you know who you are, you don't create trouble for yourself. You only create blessings for yourself. When you are ready to live in your God consciousness 100%, you do not think that you're not in your God consciousness. Do you understand that? It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. Now, when Irene gave her talk this morning, she mentioned everyone in the room, didn't she? Did she forget anybody?
Yes.
Who did she forget? She forgot Ellen.
No. Ellen,
she didn't forget Ellen. What did she say about Ellen? What did she say about Ellen? Anybody?
My bubbling self.
Her bubbling self. And what did she say about love? And what did she say about Button? Her two prize students. Her students. She didn't even mention them. And what did she say about Micho and Gentle and Spot? They were forgotten as though they were unimportant. What did she do? Why did she do that? Because she was only talking about important things like people. And who is more important in all of our life than our little friends? Who gives us the chance to smile when sometimes we don't feel like smiling? Who comes wiggling up to us and says, "Hey, you're okay. I don't care what you think about yourself, but I think you're wonderful." You see, we cannot start mentioning names of people or circumstances because we'll forget somebody. What'd you say about John? What'd you say about Anita? Anita, oh my goodness. Yeah. What'd you say about Ingeborg? She started out with Ingeborg, didn't she? Ingeborg was sleeping like a cherub there. And now, why did we think Ingeborg was sleeping? Because she had her head down like this and her eyes closed, and she was breathing heavy. Now, why is Ingeborg saying, "Oh, no, no, I wasn't sleeping, I was wide awake"? Why was she protesting? That's okay, Button. She's a good lady, too. Button's looking up at Ingeborg saying, "I love you. Whether you're sleeping or whether you're awake, I love you. I'll stand by you anytime." First thing he does, walks over to Anita. Oh, wonderful. When you're ready, and that doesn't mean you have prepared yourself like a physical athlete so that you can do skillful things, or a mental gymnast that you're working on beautiful concepts. When you're ready and you know who you are, then what happens? Then everything flows for you. Everything. Do you think that Irene leaving here on Sunday, going to Switzerland and then to Africa, is going to have a wonderful time? No, she's going to cry her heart out all the way there and all the way down and all the way back. She's going to be so unhappy. Is that true? If that were true, she certainly wouldn't go, would she? She wouldn't be ready. But because she knows what she's going to do, because she knows that she believes in herself, because she knows that she is a wonderful divine being, and she can do anything, anytime, anywhere, and have a great time doing it, she goes with a smiling heart. "I don't want to go." Ellen has grandchildren, and they were visiting here on the ranch for a week or so. And when it was time to go, they were saying, "Mommy, I don't want to go. I want to stay here with Nana. I want to stay on the ranch." Not all of them. Some of them wanted to go back home and get back to their friends and their tennis games and their other activities. But some of them, most of them, wanted to stay here. Because they were madly in love with their Nana, weren't they? They didn't want to be away from her and her golf carts. I mean, she knows what attracts these young people. She knows what makes it right. But when they left to go home, were they happy? Certainly. They're going to talk to their father and say, we should have a couple of golf carts now. It's doubtful that he'll buy golf carts for the kids. They only have a 2x4 backyard. But are they ready? Are they ready? When are they ready for golf carts? When they go to Mallorca, right? And when they go to their Spanish retreat, what do they have? They have a swimming pool. They have room to drive around. They go into their go-karts, and they have such a good time. When are you ready for whatever it is that you want? It's not a matter of mentally preparing yourself or physically preparing yourself. It's just a matter of divinely knowing who you are. You're not going to become any better or any worse. You're not going to become any more wonderful. You're not going to become any more fulfilled. You're just going to be yourself and have fun. Do you understand what that means? If you ever feel sorry for yourself about anything, you should have your head cut off. If you ever feel that somebody else in the world has done something to cause you to be unhappy, pop, off with your head. Alice in Wonderland, the queen, was always right. Off with their heads, off with their heads, off with their heads. Anybody who doesn't agree with the queen, off with their heads. Anybody who agrees with the queen, off with their heads. She had an off with their head syndrome. But what about you? You have that same off with their head syndrome every time you feel sorry for yourself. Every time you feel somebody in the world is not treating you right. Every time you feel you're not getting the right thing. You're all adults, all of you. And every one of you looks at the cake that has been cut and you think, I wonder who's going to get the big piece. The big piece is no more than a fraction of bigger. It's really not that big. But you say, who's going to get that big piece of cake? And you want to take it because you'd like to have that extra cake. But what happens? You don't take it because you think that would look like you're selfish and greedy. Well, you know what a mother does in a case like that? She says, all right, sweetheart, you cut the cake, and sweetheart, you take the first piece, the one who didn't cut the cake. You see, then you have a choice, you have a chance. Now, what would you do if you and your brother or sister were going to share a cake and one cut the cake and the other took the first choice? What would you like to do? Would you like to be the one who cut the cake or the one who take the first choice? You see, if you cut the cake and you cut it perfectly equal, then there's no problems there. But if you're going to take the first piece, then you say, go ahead, make it a little bigger this way or that way. That's okay, I don't mind. But even then, could you say, he's not heavy, Father, he's my brother. Could you let your brother have a bigger piece or your sister have a bigger piece? Could you let the rest of the world take a bigger share than you get? Could you go out into the world and be loving and make a donation of X dollars, and then somebody else comes along and makes a donation of A dollars, which are far less than your X dollars, and nobody noticed your X dollars in there? It's filled with pot. They just noticed the A dollars that this last person put in. And they said, how wonderful this person gave a dollar. How wonderful this person is. Oh, how wonderful. And here your X dollars, which filled the pot, were not even recognized. Would you have the slightest tinge in your consciousness about it? If you do, then you know what happens. You're possessed and you're owned by the circumstance. Lay down. Lay down. You're possessed and you're owned by the circumstance. And when you're possessed and owned by the circumstance, it does you no good. You might as well have not given that money. You might as well have not given that gift. If you need to have anything of approval from anybody, don't do that which needs the approval. Rather, do without it. Because you haven't learned your lesson. You haven't learned your lesson. You're not ready. You're not ready to be ready to be yourself and have fun. Because you'll always be judging. You'll always be limiting yourself. You'll always be being possessed by what you have. You reach in your pocket and you have 32 cents. And so you take this 32 cents out and you put it in the little box there of a donation. And the person says, well, thank you very much. Every little bit counts. But in your wallet, you have $200 or $300 and fifties and twenty-fives and $5 bills, $10 bills. Why don't you give one of those? Well, you mean you were limited? You weren't ready? Could you have taken your wallet and emptied it out in that donation box for whatever the cause was? It doesn't matter. Could you have been ready to do that? Could you have been ready to empty out your wallet and go home naked, so to speak, without a penny in your pocket? Could you do that? When you're ready to do that, then you're really ready. Now, it's not a matter that you're giving somebody else's money. I'm not talking about you as monks. You have no money. The money you have belongs to the monastery. It's not yours to give. But as a private citizen, going now as Irene is, on her own, Irene has money that she has in her pocket. Now, if she went to this restaurant and saw this donation box on the counter, would she empty out her wallet? Would she take out her checkbook and write to the last penny in her account? I'm not saying she should. I'm not saying you should. But I'm saying, why limit your givingness? Why limit your givingness? Because if you limit your givingness, you show where your readiness is. Why limit your givingness in giving a compliment to someone? Why limit your givingness in recognizing that you're God? Why limit your givingness to limit anything in your life? Give 100% of yourself, because then you're ready. Whatever the givingness may be, when you are ready, you will be ready. You will not say, but that's all my money. That's all my goodness. You see, it might be taken in this other venture too. The car is on fire, and there's a baby in the back seat, and the mother is injured in the front seat. Would you reach for the mother first and then the baby? Or would you reach for the baby first and then the mother? If you reach for the baby first and the mother is killed, then you're responsible for that baby. If you reach for the mother first and the baby doesn't survive, then you feel terrible about that. Are you ready to give? But you see, there's more to it than that. What might happen is you taking the mother and the baby out of the car blows up and kills you. Are you ready to handle that? Are you ready to give totally of yourself? Are you ready? It's a good question, isn't it? You must come up with that answer for yourself. I say you're ready. Now, he doesn't want me to read that three times, so read it three times out loud, please.
When you are ready, you will be ready.
And Button got up at just that moment to let me see that, too. When you're ready, you will be ready. Isn't that wonderful? Yes.